7:00, I call the October 18th meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements from the chair. All citizens are now welcome to attend public board and committee meetings in person. Meetings are live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. In an effort to maximize citizen engagement opportunities, citizens will be able to continue to participate remotely via phone, or you may click the Zoom link that is on the posted agenda and on the town's website. The phone number is 929-205-6099 and the Zoom ID is 858-1835-6372, and then you need to hit the pound sign. Once again, the Zoom ID, 858-1835-6372, pound. The only other announcements from the chair, the fire chief asked me to just remind everybody that Sunday, the fireman's memorial service will be held at the fire station at 9 a.m. Okay, citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Our favorite town clerk.
You're going to be seeing a couple of weeks and you don't see me. Right? All righty, we're just about a little under a week from the Tri-County election. And it's just a friendly reminder that we will be voting on October 24th for the construction of the new school from 12 to 8 at the Franklin High School gym. The last day to vote in the clerk's office is Monday, the 23rd of October until noontime. The ballot consists of one question, and it's a yes or a no vote. For more information on this election, you can log into franklinma.gov and navigate to the town clerk's page. And from there, I have a link to the Tri-County School Information's page. And I hope to see everyone there at the election. Election number two, the local biennial election, November 7th, at the Franklin High School from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. As soon as the ballots arrived a couple of weeks ago, we mailed out all of the requested vote-by-mail ballots, and we also started the in-person early voting during regular business hours. And just the last day to register to vote for this election, remember, is October 28th, Saturday, from 9 to 5 in the clerk's office, and we'll also be hosting in-person early voting on the same day. Again, Saturday, October 28th from 9 to 4 in the clerk's office will be in-person early voting. 9 to 5, last day to register to vote, same day. It's a great opportunity to come in and vote. If you're out of town, have a previous commitment on the 7th, remember, you can also request a vote by mail ballot up until October 31st as well. And if you have any questions, as always, feel free to call me 508-520-4900 or email me townclerk@franklinma.gov. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the board. I appreciate your time, and you will miss me.
Thank you, Nancy, and yes, we will. I also neglected to announce Councilor Frangillo is participating remotely this evening, so he's on Zoom. Okay, is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item? Please name and address.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Steve Sherlock, Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, 10 Lawrence Drive. It's a tough act to follow, but for those who want a little bit more than the couple of minutes she gave, you can also listen to the radio or the podcast version. She walks through both the town election and the tri-county election in good detail, very informative. The second piece I'll mention certainly is for your elections, many of you already have had the video taken with Frank Falvey and myself. Another four of those videos are being posted on franklin.news tomorrow, and then that'll be followed by the audio and then the transcript, so that our goal is to have video, audio, transcript for as many of the interviews as possible. Rough calc, it looks like 15 of the 17 between council and school committee, and really there's only the one contested. But it looks like we're going to have 14, 15 interviews available for people to listen, watch, read, make an informed vote on November 7th. We also have some other candidates. At least two planning board members have also participated in this as well. So we're trying to do our part between TV and radio to provide information to community because it matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Don't see anything viewing. Okay, moving along. We have no minutes to approve this evening, no proclamations or recognitions. We do have multiple appointments. Chief, please come forward.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. As usual, we've been hiring. these are the 31st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th officers that we've hired in the last 7 years. The 35th will be in about another month. We'll be coming back. Good day for us, obviously. We were fortunate.
Good day for us, too.
Yes, absolutely. You'll hear from what I have to say about these four individuals that we're very fortunate that we were able to get them to agree to become members of our department. And we're just looking forward to hopefully they stay for the next 30 plus years. It would be nice. Not having more turnover, but without further ado, I'm just going to bring up each one of the officers one at a time, basically give a little info on who they are, and then we'll have their family members come up at the end, and of course Nancy will get her time to basically do the ceremonial swearing in. We'll start with Joseph Medina. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome Officer Joseph Medina. Joe has been working in the public safety and law enforcement for the past 17 years. He started his career in 2006 as a public safety officer with Minot Mount Ida College. In 2008, he joined the Boston Public School Police Department. He received the Boston Police Commissioner's commendation in October of 2016 and was promoted to sergeant in 2021. When the Boston Public School Police was phased out of existence in 2021, Joe took a position as a campus police officer with the Wentworth Institute of Technology Police Department. And Joe most recently worked as a campus police officer with the Northeastern University PD. Joe has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice administration from Southern New Hampshire University. He completed his field training and he is now working in the operations division. And later Joe will be pinned by his father, Dennis Medina, who is a detective with the Boston Police Department. Officer Robert Young. Mm-hmm. My pleasure to introduce and welcome Officer Robert Young to the Franklin Police Department. As a native Franklinite, he earned his Eagle Scout rank with Troop 99 and a 2009 graduate of Franklin High School. Rob is very familiar with the town of Franklin. Rob started his law enforcement career in 2017 after graduating from the State of Rhode Island Municipal Police Academy. He worked the next 5 years for the Pawtucket, Rhode Island Police Department as a patrol officer and field training officer, responsible for training new police officers who graduated from the police academy. In June of 2022, Rob transferred to the Dover, Massachusetts Police Department, where he worked as a patrol officer for the past year. Rob has a bachelor's degree in business management from Assumption College and a master's degree in criminal justice from Roger Williams University. Rob joined the FPD in August. He's finished his field training as well and is now working in the operations division. And later, Rob will be pinned by his wife, Stephanie Young. Briefly, the next two candidates both come from the Fitchburg State University 4+1 police program. I want to talk about this just briefly to give everybody an idea what it's all about. Both enrolled in the 4+1 police program at Fitchburg State University. The police program is a one-of-a-kind model where in 5 years, a student will obtain a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, attend a municipal police training council, recruit academy training program on campus, attain a certificate to be a full-time Massachusetts municipal police officer, and a master's degree in criminal justice. Officer Parker Luther. My pleasure to introduce and welcome Officer Parker Luther to the Franklin PD. Parker received his bachelor's degree in May of 2023 and immediately started the Fitchburg State University Police Academy, graduating the academy on September 15, 2023. At graduation, Parker received the Officer Ronald Tarantino Jr. Award. Officer Ronald Tarantino Jr. was an Auburn police officer who was killed in the line of duty on May 22, 2016. His family created the Ronald Tarantino Jr. Charitable Foundation to honor his life and legacy. The award was presented to the recruit officer who displayed similar characteristics as Ron, such as promoting acts of kindness, generosity, and service to the community. Parker participated in a 9-month internship with the Sudbury Police Department prior to attending FSU. And in 2022, while attending college, Parker served as a community service officer for the Nantucket Police Department. Parker is currently pursuing his master's degree and anticipates completing the program in May of 2024. He is currently completing a 13-week field training program and will join the operations division. And Parker will be pinned by his mother, Karen Arpino, and his brother, Jordan Luther. Officer Martin Zimmy. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome Officer Martin Zimmy to the Franklin Police Department. Martin received his bachelor's degree in May of 2023 and immediately started the Fitchburg State University Police Academy. He graduated the academy on September 15th. At the academy graduation, Martin received the 100% award. This award is given to the recruit officer who contributed 100% all the time, not only during academy hours. The recipient was a leader behind the scenes who quietly did the right thing and encouraged their classmates all the time, even when they thought the academy staff wasn't looking. During his undergraduate program, Martin participated in a 4-month internship at the Gardner Police Department. He's currently pursuing his master's degree and anticipates completing the program in May of 2025. He is also currently completing a 13-week field training program and will join the operations division. And Martin will be pinned by his mother, Bettina Zimmy, and his father, Stephen Zimmy. And yes, if you're wondering, they are of age. They are of age. Oh no, I just know.
Very lucky to have you. I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Joseph Medina.
I, Joseph Medina.
I, Robert Young.
I, Robert Young.
I, Parker Luther.
I, Parker Luther.
I, Martin Zinni.
I, Martin Zinni.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To To faithfully execute the duties.
To faithfully execute the duties.
As a police officer.
As a police officer.
For the town of Franklin.
For the town of Franklin.
With respect.
With respect.
Integrity.
Integrity.
And excellence.
And excellence.
And to uphold the mission of the department.
And to uphold the mission of the department.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
The state of Massachusetts.
The state of Massachusetts.
And the laws and ordinances.
And the laws and ordinances.
Of the town of Franklin.
Of the town of Franklin.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Can I have the family members who are going to be doing the pinning, please come up? Thank you.
We're not done yet.
Chief, you got one more part?
Two.
Actually,
if I cut out the last one, I'd love to hear it.
You'll never hear the end of it if you cut out the last one.
So, a little the next person I'll bring up in a minute, but in June of 2023, the department created the Franklin Police Department Co-Response Program. Similar to the JDP program, or the Jail Diversion Program, the department will now hire trained crisis clinicians to pair with our officers to provide on-scene crisis intervention. The additional goals of the Co-Response Program, in addition to what the JDP did, was to provide advanced mental health, addiction, and other services to the residents of the town by directly hiring several trained crisis clinicians. Working in collaboration with other town personnel, co-response members will provide a holistic approach to the delivery of mental health services to the residents of Franklin. The department recently received a $100,000 fiscal year 24 grant from the Department of Mental Health to fund the salary of a co-response program supervisor. So we needed somebody that knew what they were doing, that had experience, that we can end up putting in that position to start this program that we hope will expand and so forth. So we are very ecstatic to announce somebody that you all know, that we've hired Callie Montegano to do that job. those that don't remember, Callie was the department's first jail diversion program clinician, and she worked with the department from 2018 to 2021. And she was instrumental in the implementation of the program from scratch. We never had anything like this before. And again, we knew it was going to happen. I knew it the day she walked into my office. I could see it in her face. I said it before she said it. I said, "You got promoted, didn't you?" And she did. And she got a well-deserved promotion for Advocates, the company that she worked for, that we ended up contracting with for the position. And over the past 2 years with Advocates, she's been a supervisor, supervising JDP clinicians and overseeing implementation of the JDP program in police departments throughout the area. Who better to fill the role, though, of our co-response program manager than Callie? So the co-response program and Callie's first goal is to solicit additional funding from Department of Mental Health and to add to the American Recovery Plan Act money funds that were already designated to hire additional clinicians and to start the hiring process. And I'm happy to inform the town council that we hired an experienced and exceptional clinician named Sonia Wagner to fill that role. And she'll be working with, and starting with Callie on November the 6th. You will meet her the next time I come up. Under the leadership of Callie Montagano, we are confident the co-response program will provide excellent services to the town and exceed all the expectations that we have. So again, I'd like to welcome back,
she's back,
Callie Montagano. Together. So I want to introduce the newest member of the Franklin Police Department's Community Service Unit, Officer Frankie. Well, many of you may already know, and if you don't, this is Community Service Officer David Gove. He also acts as the school, he's also a school resource officer at the Remington Middle School, the Jefferson Elementary, and the Palm Mental School. So a little about Frankie. Frankie is a one-year-old American Chocolate Lab that came to us from Professional Canine Services of Middleborough, where she received her training. She joined the department back in February. In July, she completed the therapy dog certification and passed the American Kennel Club Canine Good Citizen and the temperament test. And in September, Frankie completed friendly fine training that will allow her to assist with searches for missing people. So Frankie's going to be a staple in the Franklin community, and especially in the Franklin Public Schools, where she'll be interacting daily with students and staff. And although she is being very good right now, this is not how we see her running around the station.
She wants to come over and
get
it.
She definitely does.
We're going to take a 2 minute recess so we all get the music.
No, we don't have something for that.
Recording in progress.
Call the October 18th meeting of the Franklin Town Council back to session. And the next item on the agenda is public hearing. And we have three, but we're going to combine them all into one. So I declare the public hearing on new section 19BN, Farmer Winery Pouring Permit, and new section 19CN, Farmer Brewery Pouring Permit, and C, License Modification, Alteration of Premises to Combine Section 19BN, Farmer Winery Pouring Permit, and Section 19CN, Farmer Brewery Pouring Permit, to create a Section 19H, Farmer Winery, Farmer Brewery Pouring Permit. Well, that was a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So I declare all three public hearings open. But before I go to the public hearing, either Mark or Jamie, do you want to just kind of explain what this is?
Yeah. So the farmer series of licenses is relatively new creation. That's what Bob Ozella has taken advantage of. So we started with a winery. He's added a brewery. And he's also changing location. He's taking the old S.C. Rossi Automotive, and that's going to be the new premises. Unfortunately, the state bureaucracy being what it is, nothing simple. So when you have multiple licenses, generally speaking, you cannot have more than one alcohol license on the premises. So the, and Jamie will know this better, it came to a head when they found out that the Neshoba Winery had been operating with multiple licenses. So the legislature created a remediation for that, which is that H sub H dash, the last one you read. We've had guidance from the ABCC, and they insist we do it, that we're doing it, which is basically two separate transactions then combined into a third. But the upshot is it's all going to allow Bob to transfer an existing business from one location to another.
Thank you, Mark. Since this is a public hearing, Bob, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point? I didn't think so. Is there anyone in the public, in the council chambers, where this is a public hearing? I'd like to go to the public first. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on this public hearing? Is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on this public hearing? I don't see anybody. Do you, Amy? Then I'll go to the council. Are there any councilors that would like to speak? Councilor Chandler.
Just quickly. Thank you, Bob. I just want to, so happy the council is so pro-business that we're just, this is just going right through. And the other thing I want to say is, I mean, it's amazing that not one, you're in a busy area of town, and we didn't have one person come here tonight and say, we don't want him to do this, we don't want him to do that. Right. So I think that speaks volumes, definitely. And I think most of us have known you for a while, and we just wish you the best of luck that I'm sure Mr. Chairman will say next. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Comey-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say congratulations to Bob and his whole team and best wishes in the new site. We're all excited to see the winery expand and for you and your family to continue to bring such not just great wine to Franklin, but the programming and the atmosphere and really everything that you bring to the town is very, very much appreciated. So best of luck.
Thank you. Councilor Pellegrini.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to congratulate you too and wish you the best of luck. I always like to see a Franklin family being involved with Franklin business, and you people have been here for years and years and years, so good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just want to congratulate you, and we've come a long way since that talk in the driveway a few years ago, so congratulations and the best of luck.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Councilor Jones. Thank you.
You guys rock. You got this. I'm looking forward to the new place and all the hard work that's gone into it. And what you've done for the community is tremendous. The economic development growth alone to that part of town has been unbelievable. And a large part is you and your business. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Any other councilors? Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to, I just say ditto to everything that's been said. And I work near you guys too, so I know that you're a big part of the community. And just thank you for all the work you're doing. It really makes a big difference. Makes our jobs a little easier too. And so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor Sheridan?
Yeah, as a neighbor, I think it's great. I walk by there all the time. Really improve the property.
Thank you. Jamie, anything to add?
Through Mr. Chairman, I just want to note that these are department heads that are traditionally affiliated with the liquor licensing or have approved this application as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Kobe, anything to add?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
And a few words.
I like that. Okay. Before I close the hearing, obviously, Bob, congratulations, and you know your family, your family and your team have done a wonderful job with the winery, and I think it's getting bigger and better. So, congratulations for that. And I think we'll move right to these legislations for action, so that we don't make Bob sit here all night and go back and have a glass of wine.
Probably working.
Leave the bottle outside.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I've got to close the hearing.
Yes.
So I declare all three public hearings, 19B, 19C, and 19H, closed. We'll now move to legislation, license transactions, and the first license transaction is new section 19B, and Farmer Winery pouring permit. Clerk will read the license transaction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a license transaction, new section 19BN, Farmer Winery pouring permit for La Cantina Winery located at the 341 Union Street, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038. La Cantina Winery Company located at 341 Union Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038 is seeking approval for new section 19BN Farmer Winery pouring permit and approve the manager, Robert Pizzella. This is a motion to approve the request by La Cantina Winery Company for new section 19BN Farmer Winery pouring permit and to approve Robert Pizzella as the manager.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Jamie, anything to add?
Nope.
Councilors? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion and the clerk will read the roll.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Cormier-Ledger.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0.
Motion carries. New section 19C and Farmer Brewery pouring permit. Clerk will read the license transaction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. License transaction, new section 19TN, Farmer Brewery pouring permit. La Cantina Winery Company, 341 Union Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. La Cantina Winery Company located 341 Union Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Seeking approval for new section 19CN, Farmer Brewery pouring permit, and approve manager Robert Pizzella. This is a motion to approve the request by La Cantina Winery Company for new section 19CN, Farmer Brewery pouring permit, and to approve Robert Pizzella as the manager.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor, signify by, I'm sorry, roll call vote once again.
Cormier-Ledger.
Yes.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0.
Motion carries. And third license modification, alteration of premises to combine section 19B and 19C and create a 19H. Clerk will read the license modification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a license transaction for alteration of premises to combine section 19BN Farmer Winery Pouring Permit and section 19CN Farmer Brewery Pouring Permit to create section 19H Farmer Winery Farmer Brewing Permit Pouring Permit. La Cantina Winery Company, 341 Union Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. La Cantina Winery Company, located at 341 Union Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038, is seeking approval for alteration of premises to combine Section 19BN Farmer Winery Pouring Permit and Section 19CN Farmer Brewery Pouring Permit to create a section 19H Farmer Winery Farmer Brewery pouring permit and approval, manager Robert Mazzella. Motion to approve the request by La Catena Winery Company for alteration of premises to combine section 19BN Farmer Winery pouring permit and section 19CN Farmer Brewery pouring permit to create section 19H Farmer Winery Farmer Brewery pouring permit and to approve Robert Mazzella as the manager.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Seeing none, roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Homie Ledger.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay, next item on the agenda is presentations and discussion.
Thank you very much.
We have a discussion this evening. We have Jen Knight Levine from the Safe Coalition. Jen, please come forward. Jamie, would you like to do a lead-in?
Sure. I don't. There is no lead-in.
When that smile comes in the room, it lights up the whole council chambers.
I do want to note, and I'll speak to this in a moment, Mr. Chairman, about the Safe Coalition's efforts relative to the migrant housing issue. So
yeah.
We'll let Jen go first, and then I'm going to do a little discussion of Jen's efforts, which are just above and beyond anything that the Safe Coalition was destined to do. We'll talk about that during the TA report. Thank you.
Thank you. Jen, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Great to be back. Great to see you. Thank you for the warm welcome. So I'm so excited to be back here and share a little bit about what the Safe Coalition has done since the last time I was here. So during the last presentation, one of the questions during discussion was, I think from Chandler, what can we do? How can we help you? And you all came together, and Jamie really spearheaded funding resources. And that has changed the landscape of the Safe Coalition. Your decision to provide funding to the folks in this community has allowed countless individuals, children, and families to get resources that they never would have had otherwise. And that has also allowed our organization to grow and develop and to apply for other grants that would have not ever been an option for us. So the Safe Coalition, the last time I spoke, we were in Norfolk, and we really wanted to get back to Franklin. We were born here, we were kind of raised here, and we wanted to get back to kind of our roots. And in March, we were able to open up our 5,000 square foot space back in Franklin and at the Mills, and it's been outstanding. We have kids who are riding their bikes and walking from school and coming to after school programming, and those are things that never would have been possible in Norfolk. So I think the last time I spoke, I talked a little bit about our programming, and all of our programming has become a lot more succinct since the last time I was here. So we have three specific divisions of support: adolescent wellness, family recovery, and collaborative care. In adolescent wellness, it's really the work that we do with the schools and with our teen population. We have a diversion program. So in lieu of a suspension, students are able to come to the SAFE program and receive 3 days of social emotional wellness support and return back to school on the fourth day, and a suspension is absolved off the record. So if a child is caught at school or at a game or on a trip with any kind of substance, the expectation before was that they had to spend 10 days out of school. And I think we all can agree that that's not really going to serve the best needs of the student. And it was going to increase the substance use concerns and social risks. And so now we have this amazing program where kids can come back to SAFE, really get the support, connect their substance use with their mental health concerns, and their families can also get resources. From that program that we run during the day, we have a variety of after-school programs for kids. We have mentorship programs, peer-to-peer programs. Peer-to-peer is where middle schoolers and high schoolers who are now sober, yes, you heard me correctly, are mentoring middle schoolers and high schoolers who are not sober but want to be through a facilitated program with one of our staff. We have volunteer opportunities and intern opportunities, and that kind of leads to family support. We have a wonderful family support center that all of you know, the other co-founder, Jim Derrick, has really launched. And this is a space for family members to come together. We have an adult sibling support group, grandparents raising grandchildren,
Dual Recovery Anonymous, a 12-step for parents around codependency, and we also partner with Learn to Cope. And collaborative care. We know that none of the work that we do at SAFE is without the unbelievable partnerships that we have, whether it's with school or police or fire, faith-based communities, hospitals, the sheriff's department, the DA's office. All of these partnerships allow us to do the work that we need to do and also allows us to help connect the folks that walk through our door with services if we can't provide them. Currently, we are connected with three court systems, Milford, Rentham, and Uxbridge District Courts. We do a lot of Section 35 work there. We also have those domestic violence concerns. And really, we want to be able to make sure that we meet the needs of the community. So one of the things that popped up during COVID were diapers. And so we created a diaper bank. Another need that's popped up as we've been working a lot more with grandparents has been car seats. So we have a grand with Toyota and we have 97 car seats that we are almost out of. We have been providing Narcan to the community at $95 a pop, and now we are the only nonprofit in this area of Massachusetts that holds the controlled substance license that allows us to order, train, and dispense at zero cost. In the last month and a half, we've given out 2,000 doses of Narcan to our community at zero cost. It has been an unbelievable couple of years, but you all have decided that this is how you want your community to be. You want the families and the children in this community to have access to mental health resources, to have access to substance use resources, to have after-school programs and evening programs for families because you believe in the wellness of the whole family. And it is without you and Jamie, we never could be in this place where I'm here sharing all these numbers and stats and really great stories. So I want to share a little bit about the folks that we see at the diversion program. So we have a program called Up in Smoke. It's a substance use diversion program. I just talked a little bit about it. And I want to share some statistics. So with the program that we hosted last year, 89.8% of the children that we met with use cannabis. 52.2% of those are used multiple times daily. 69.5% have expressed anxiety and depression, and 76.3% have an immediate family member that struggles with substance use. Those are pretty incredible numbers. So the work here, as wonderful and as amazing, as exciting as it is not even close to done. And we have unbelievable relationships with the Franklin Public Schools, and that has also made all the difference. The Franklin Public Schools were the first ones to say, yes, we want to change our handbook. Yes, we want to send kids to your program. What do you do for after school programs? What more information can we give to families? Can you come into IDP and 504 meetings? How can we do this well? And that has been a game changer. Instead of kids now possibly getting suspended, we're able to meet with children before they get to that place where they need disciplinary action and getting them resources months before they have something on their record. I just want to share a few more statistics about the overall program that we've done in Franklin. This is all Franklin specific. We've held 48 direct grief support meetings with Franklin residents. We have supported 26 teens in getting significantly higher levels of care and support. That might mean a dual diagnosis program, it may mean hospitalization. We have held 45 peer-to-peer programs. So again, peers who are sober are supporting peers who would like to be sober. We've held 24 grandparent raising grandchildren groups at the YMCA. The YMCA has been an unbelievable partner. While grandparents are getting support upstairs, their grandchildren are being watched free of charge by the staff at the Y. The YMCA also has provided unlimited support to anyone that we refer there. So any family that comes through SAFE that needs a scholarship, the Y says yes. We have had 240 direct referrals from other partners in Franklin. That could be the food pantry, police or fire, the schools. We have done 202 hours of community education. We've had 126 hours supported by our licensed independent social worker to Franklin residents. We have calculated 612 hours of working with the police and fire department in Franklin. We have had 23 grief and counselor meetings with residents of Franklin. 100% of the grandparents of Franklin that we support are fostering a grandchild in Franklin. And 95% of the Franklin families that we work with say that cannabis has negatively impacted how their family functions. We have also had 221 hours of collaborative meetings with other Franklin nonprofits or civic organizations. We love being here. We are dedicated to being here. We are so excited that all of these hours and all of these meetings have happened within the town of Franklin. And we are so thankful for all of the support that you have given us, all the support, all the guidance, all the text messages that Jamie has had to answer from me, all the emails. And that has kind of led to this place. And I know that Jamie's going to talk about this in a little bit of where we are right now. So the mission of SAFE has always been to listen to the needs of the community and develop up resources from there. And while SAFE started as a substance use and mental health organization, kind of the background of the majority of us at SAFE professionally has been in working on the border, working with migrant populations. And so when kind of we found out that there were new folks coming to our community, one of our first calls was to Jamie to say, it's really early. I'm sure no one knows exactly what's going on, but we are here to help. And it has been unbelievable. We have staff who are multilingual, who have been at the hotel. We are on a weekly call with Jamie and some other folks in the community every week. But really what we've been doing is going door to door, meeting with the family, assessing needs, whether that be emotional, spiritual, clothing, school needs, whatever those needs are, and then trying to meet those needs the best ways that we can. We were at the hotel for a few hours yesterday working with the new families, and I just want to share one of the stories. You know, it's easy to get connected to our politics. It's easy to stay glued to our TV. It can be really challenging to move away from headlines and stats and see the folks and the people and the children that we are supporting. So yesterday, I walked into the hotel and our staff were there and I was looking for them. And I see her, she's in the doorway and she's talking with the family. And they're speaking Spanish and I can speak a little bit of Spanish. And so I'm listening and we asked them to share their story. And they have traveled from very far and explained kind of what their situation was like. And we asked them, you know, what were the best parts of the trip? What were the hardest parts of the trip? And they explained that it's a husband and a wife and a four-year-old little girl. And while they were traveling through Mexico, through the mud and the trees and the bugs, with little to no water and absolutely no food, that more frequently they were encouraged to separate from their daughter. That on more than one occasion, there was an opportunity for their child to be abducted. That at one point, in northern Mexico, they physically taped their child to their body because there was such a desire to separate the children and the parents. This four-year-old little girl, who now is in Franklin, was separated from her parents for 12 hours and was placed on a train while her parents were using the restroom. Once they were reunited in Juarez and made the border crossing and came to the United States, they turned themselves in to seek asylum because they had nothing. But they had gotten here. Their story within the US and how they made it to Franklin, Massachusetts is also unbelievable and incredible. But you see this little sweet pumpkin angel who's playing with toys that she has created in the hotel with utensils and cups, with limited to no clothes, limited to no food. And the father is saying that the best thing that could happen is that they are here in Franklin. The most unbelievable thing, whether they are hungry, is that they have a roof over their head and they know that they are safe and all he wants to do is work. The mother is begging to figure out how she can learn English and how her daughter can be in some kind of schooling. This was not the conversation that I expected to walk into yesterday afternoon, I promise you, but it was a conversation that was placed upon me. And so I guess what I'm hoping is that as we move through all of these incredibly challenging, heavy, big things, that we don't lose the humanity that is within all of us. We are all proud to live here. We are all happy to live here. We are also really proud of our own ancestry. I am Irish and I will share that with you any moment of any day. We know that we are excited about our heritage and I hope that we all can find ourselves in a place where we can honor those who are here in a dignified and respectful way even though there are unbelievable challenges ahead of us. And I'm so thankful to live in this town. I am so thankful with Jamie's leadership. I am so thankful for Kathleen Liberty. So thankful for the Interfaith Council. Because even though this is heavy and big and challenging, it is not beyond any of us to figure this out. So thank you for letting me speak. Thank you for letting me share. I am open to any conversation or questions. Thank you for having me again.
Jen, all of it is just incredible and mind-boggling what the Safe Coalition has been able to do in such a short period of time, when you think about it from its inception to now. I'll go to the councilors. Councilor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Obviously, being a co-founder of the Safe Coalition, to see it grow the way it has grown, it's just, it's beyond what I thought. Being on that porch the first night we had that first meeting, we didn't even know how to section somebody. Well, Jen knew, but I didn't know, and Roy didn't know how to section somebody, section 35 somebody, and it's just, when I got involved, I got on because of the drug issue. Jen and Jim and the rest of, and I gotta praise everybody else on the board, they brought it to another level. With the mental health and the grandparents and stuff like that. I never thought it was gonna go as far as it did, but with the great group of people we had, Jim and Jen and the rest of the board people that came on board, the people from the courts that came in, set everything up, it was really amazing to see it all come together. And it's just gonna keep growing, there's no doubt about it. It breaks my heart when I just see it. I mean, it doesn't break it, but it fills my heart when I see how far it's gone and you walk into a room. We didn't even have a room on this time. We were lucky we met in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did, And Jim Derrick's story and Jim has come so far and has done so much, and as smart as he is, and he lost his son to the addiction, and the way he has turned his life around, and I talked to Jim about it, and if we didn't have Safe, I think Jim would be in a very bad place right now, because it's really helping him recover. And so I can't say enough about it. It's just tremendous what you guys have done and all of us have done. People donate now, like left and right. they come and they meet once and they throw, they're giving us money, and it's crazy. I just never thought it was going to be like that. I really never did. I didn't even think we were going to be around in 5 years, to be honest with you.
No, I get it. I get it.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there. I get it. I'm with you.
You know how many times you were like looking at the books going, oh my God, what are we going to do? I'm just so happy and so proud of everybody. That's all I can say.
Thank you. And thank you for everything, Bob. We wouldn't be here without you either. Takes a village.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Councilor DeLorco. Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So nice to see you again, my friend. And thank you for everything that you do. And truly your kind words tonight around the migrant issue. You put a beautiful human spin to a negative story. I think what people miss in all of this, Jen, is that you are doing preventative work. You are trying to do so much so that people don't end up in a desperate position, in a incarceration or in a suicide or in something else. And I applaud you and your whole team for that, because that approach is saving lives. That the programs for grandparents, the programs for LGBT youth that that we've talked about, all of the wonderful things that you're trying to think of that are like, okay, what can we do so that we don't have a problem down here, instead of just being reactionary. And I just can't say thank you enough. I'm sorry for any negativity that your organization gets from out there. I hope you don't give that a lot of credence and just let that go, right? Those people don't know what they're talking about. You and your team do wonderful work. You're valuable to Franklin. We're lucky to have you. And please continue to let us know how we can help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilor Comey-Ledger. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hey, Jen.
Hi.
I think what you were thinking, what I said was that I wanted to give you money. That's what I did, you know. And I think if all nine of us get elected, I think you will definitely continue to be funded. I don't think anyone's going to shake their head about that.
So, pretty good.
Because the bottom line is, I know Bobby said so much, so I will never say all the rest of that, but everybody can relate to something that you're doing. It's not just drugs and alcohol. It could be, like you said, with the Pampers, food problems, anything. So, I like you said, as soon as someone sees what you're doing, I think they're right on board.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
That's good. And the only thing I'm kind of sad about a little bit is, like this, we approve a lot of like marijuana stuff in this town, and I'm guilty because I prostitute myself out in that business too. And I wish I didn't have to, but what do you think about, like, they want to put like marijuana bars in now and stuff? I mean, do you think things are just going too far?
That's a really great question.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. No, I mean, this is why I'm here, right? I think that children are always watching adults. And so how do we spend our time, and how do we have really thoughtful conversations with children about the activities that we participate in? We can't change the law in Massachusetts that this was legalized, right? But that means that we have to elevate and extend the styles of conversations that we have with our kids about what's safe and what is more safe for an adult than for a child. And so this is where we are, and we have really wonderful, healthy relationships with the cannabis industries in town, and that's intentional. We want to be able to share resources and know what products are coming out so that we can have conversations with kids and families. And so I don't know, I don't think that we can go backward, but I think the best way to move forward is to have really thoughtful conversations about what cannabis is now and what it looks like in our community. We know without a question that cannabis impacts the developing brain of a child. Mm-hmm. And so how do we talk with children early on, just like we do with cigarette use, to make something like using cannabis disgusting as you're growing up? Because that was kind of the aim of nicotine in the 90s, right? We know that children in kindergarten most likely aren't smoking cigarettes, but the education around nicotine and tobacco starts in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So how do we start doing that much earlier on than we are right now? I think the other really important piece is we meet with a lot of parents who do use cannabis recreationally, and they say, I was using cannabis at my child's age and I'm doing fine. And what we really try to highlight is that the frequency and the potency has changed significantly over the last 20 to 50 years, and the way that children are purchasing cannabis has changed dramatically. Any of the kids that we work with have to buy from a dealer because they're under 21, and that dealer now has access to every substance because anyone who's over 21 is most likely going to a dealer. A dispensary. And so our children have access to a higher potency substance. The way that they can utilize it is much more frequent, and the way that they're purchasing is through a drug dealer that is selling more than just cannabis. And so the safety concerns, the environmental concerns are all part of the conversations that we're having now. So I guess those are my thoughts, that as the cannabis industry develops, our thought process and our conversation with our youth have to as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And lastly, Mr. Chairman, I think we're all honored to be in your corner, so keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Any other councilors? Councilor Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jen, listen, you are a remarkable individual, and I want to so many nice things I can say about you and Derek and the organization, but before I do that, I want to say, I think it was on everyone's mind, you are a remarkable speaker.
Thank you.
As a teacher and a person who works hard to try to give lessons to people without saying the word I never hear you say that word. And just everything rattles off the top of your head, which tells me that you have such a deep understanding and knowledge of all of this. And that is remarkable to me. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of the individuals who work with the Safe Coalition and Jim and Bob and Jim and everyone who came together to make this organization, no musician, what it is. Kind of touching base on what my fellow counselor stated about your statements towards the migrants who come to Franklin, haven't really given it some facts, some truth, and some real humanity behind everything. One of the things I learned about the people over at the migrants is that almost 50% of them are Haitians. And myself, personally, having had experience working with many Haitian people, it's sad that their country has become what it has. It's almost impossible for me to go back because it's so unsafe. Yeah. But these are individuals who are fleeing such a hardship, like the people from Mexico, where if it's for all intents and purposes, it's their only choice because their other choice is death.
Yes.
And that's the reality and the humanity of it all. So how anybody could ever speak ill or speak poorly about these people, in a sense, they're almost not even probably looking back on their own ancestry and realizing that they're here for probably the same reasons. You know, my ancestors are Scottish. You know, the Irish had a Dickens of a time trying to get jobs in the city of Boston. And the Scottish were persecuted in lack of food, too. And they fled Scotland, went to Nova Scotia, came, ended up in New England. We all have those stories. And why shouldn't we be giving those people down at the hotel that same opportunity to become Americans, join the dream, and help make a life in reality for themselves? I completely agree with you, Chad. I'm sorry for going on tangents, but it gets to me too. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Jen. I could go on and on what everyone else has said already. I think, but Franklin is lucky that you're here and that SAFE has grown because you have this ability to see what people need and to actually make it happen. And that's really unusual. So we don't want you to go anywhere because you're right. We want our people and our community and other communities to be taken well care of. And we need you to help us to do that. Okay, so you're going to promise us you're not going to go.
I promise we're not going anywhere. Okay. I promise. I'm sure my husband's watching. He would agree.
There's a, you know, I don't know, the office, I think, that you're in Franklin now, I was there before everything was finished, and we were in, you let me come in, and you know, Jen does so many things, but the other day, I just have to share this, like, I texted her, and I said, hey, is there going to be a Narcan training around? Like, can I go to one soon? And she's like, well, what are you doing Friday? What are you doing tomorrow morning? And I'm like, well, I could come in at 9 o'clock. And I thought there'd be other people there and stuff, but no, it's Jen. And she's like, I'll come in early. And she, you know, just donates so much of herself to get this stuff done. And we are eternally grateful, I guess, and we're lucky. So thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor Sherrod.
Hey. I too like to thank you for everything and everything everybody said. And I'm Irish too.
No, really? I don't know how anybody did that.
And a couple years ago, I saw a picture on Facebook of a crowded immigrant ship coming into Ellis Island. And they said this was my grandparents' caravan.
Yeah.
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 Truly. Truly.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Councilor Sheridan. Councilor Frangillo.
I would just echo the gratitude. My only addition would be I'm glad that this body is committed to continue funding. If anyone else is listening, this work is not free. So if you have it within yourself to contribute, they do fantastic work and meet every need as it arises. And we're so lucky to have them find it within yourselves and others to help them do the great work that they do in the community.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Closing, I think the numbers that you alluded to early on in your presentation are mind-boggling to me. And I think about how fortunate Franklin is to have SAFE in our community. Not just dealing with the addiction pieces, but looking at the current migrant issue, these other towns don't have a SAFE helping. We're so fortunate, and I said it when you first came up. When you come into a room, you light up the room, and your energy and your passion for what you do is just incredible, and we can't thank you and SAFE enough for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, next item on the agenda is legislation for action. Resolution 23-57, gift acceptance, Veterans Services Department, $3,205. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 23-57, acceptance of gift, Veterans Services Department, whereas the Veterans Service Department has received generous donations in the total amount of $3,250 to be used at the discretion of the Department of Programs and Services as follows. Donation subject, Veterans Services Department, Municipal Veterans Assistance Fund, $3,250 to be used in support of local veterans and their families. List of all donors is included in the October 18, 2023 Town Council meeting agenda packet. Total amount of donation, $3,250. Now therefore be resolved that the Town Council, the Town of Franklin, on behalf of the Veterans Services Department, gratefully accepts these generous donations to be used at the discretion of the department as described above. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Long Rule Charter.
Move resolution 23-57.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie.
I think continuing the message of generosity, it's just still amazing to me how many people continue to make donations to our Veterans Department. So I just thank you, everybody, for their contributions.
And just to clear up the resolution, I think it's $3,205, not $3,250.
What's
the top is, this says.
Yeah, the donation total at the top is $3,205.
Yeah.
When you add up the numbers. So just want to make sure.
Yeah, $3,205.
3205. That's correct.
Okay, hold on, let me make a.
It's okay with the second.
Yeah,
it's 3205.
Yeah, second.
Okay. I was sure it was.
Yeah.
I just want to get it clarified.
So move it and second it again?
No, as long as the second approves it.
It's okay.
Discussion from the council? Again, just thanking all of these people for their continued generous donations to our community. Okay, roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Romeo Legend.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Blagrid.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0.
Motion carries. Okay, Town Administrator's report.
Through Mr. Chair, before I get into the migrant housing update, just a quick plug. I know all of you will mention it too, but this week, from 2 to 5 o'clock, there'll be an open house for those who wanna wax some nostalgia in Davis Thayer. And any interested parties who may be out there thinking about, you know, any plans for Davis there, will be our first open house this Friday from 2 to 5, October 20th, and then we're having a second open house on Saturday from 10 to 2. We're going to get some coffee and some light drinks and stuff for folks, and so if anybody wants to come in and take a look at the school, and from what I'm told, there's actually, for those who are interested in obtaining one of the last remaining desks and chairs from the school, there are some desks and chairs remaining.
Yeah.
And so folks, if they really want a memento, can come up. There's not a lot, but there are some. And so if people are interested in a few of the desks and chairs from Davis there, folks can come by the open house, take a peek, have a seat, and hopefully have one of the last remaining desks and chairs up there, which is great news.
How are we staffing that, Jim?
There is going to be so many people there, I don't even know how to count. We will be all be there. I think almost all of the committee members, Councilor Pellegrini, are going to be there.
Okay.
They won't be both days, but every committee member will probably be there both days. There will be a police officer there as well, assigned for each day, and the facilities department will also be there.
Okay.
We will
just want to make sure that
we custodian as well
have it properly staffed.
Sure. Oh, we bring them. I just hope there's not more. I hope people come because I don't want more staff there than people. We expect a little bit more of a crowd, hopefully, on Saturday morning. So hopefully people
okay.
come by and say hi. And we're hoping for a lot of conversation. Hopefully people come up there and get educated. And we're going to have a sheet for sign-ins and also for ideas. So I know Councilor Pellegrini will talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. On the migrant housing update, just to go through some of the numbers, 89 of the rooms of the 100 are filled. We have just under 300 individuals, people that are living up there now, roughly around 60 or so school-age children. Some of those children have arrived recently. They are not enrolled in school yet. The superintendent and Paul Morano and Tina, the assistant superintendent and their staff, have been working exceptional amount of hours to deal with all the vaccination relative requirements, background checks, or whatever else they have to do to enroll kids. And so they're working around the clock doing that, and I just can't say enough about how incredible our school district has been to be on site at the hotel in a common space going through all of the regulatory stuff that they're required to. I get this question very often, I think all of you do. Are the children of the migrant families susceptible to the same requirements as all other children? I think you guys get that. And the short answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
All of those children are going through the same protocols as every other child in Franklin would go through to register for school. So we expect by the end of the month that the hotel will be full at the 100 rooms. We don't know when those folks may or may not arrive, but I think at this point it's safe to say that we'll be up around 300 folks, about 60 to 65 school-age children, and we'll wait for that. Also, a couple notes, DPH did arrive. I will, in a gas, say finally. They've been on site for about 3 or 4 days. They've linked up with some of the service providers like Jen, but most importantly, they've also been in touch with the Board of Health and our public health nurse, and working on that. It's been great to see them, you know, better late than never, but they've certainly been adding a lot of value down there and trying to work with infectious disease issues and all those types of things. At the state level, it's been great to have a contact in a state agency. I continue to be blown away and amazed at the generosity of the community. I don't think anybody should be shocked. Amy and I are familiar. As sad as this will sound, and I will not name other communities, there are some communities that are literally doing nothing, which is heartbreaking. And there are some communities who have chosen to say this is the federal government's problem. Towns here, right, in Massachusetts, near us, who have said this is a federal problem and we're doing nothing. Some people have said this is a state problem now and we're doing nothing. Okay, when I mean nothing, I mean nothing. Proactively suggesting that the town government or other folks in communities will just sit back and say that's someone else's problem. I'm sorry if my face is getting red. That to me is frightening and terrible. But that's not the situation here. And we're very grateful for Jen's leadership, the Interfaith Coalition, all of the members, but certainly St. Mary's, the Methodist Church, the Federated Church, all are doing laundry, clothes drives, providing the essentials for individuals. Last time I think Councilor Roper was just talking, this was, Safe Coalition was an organization around substance abuse, but to show the kind of fabric that we have and the leadership in this community, when an organization has a few folks that speak a different language and they're volunteers for an organization, they're gonna step up and go in and help out. And that has been an invaluable service for those families, as well as trying to connect them to resources and feeling integrated and comfortable within the community. I also want to just give a shout out to Fish for jumping in recently. The Franklin Food Pantry has been helping out. The YMCA has been on our calls, as everybody would expect. Scott's been incredible, just the whole staff. And obviously our staff, the Board of Health, Alicia, Casilla, Kathy, the Franklin Public Library, the Franklin Schools, police, fire, everybody has banded together. We know the federal government has dropped the ball on this. We know the state government has been a little bit of a sloppy rollout, to say the least. But I think we should all feel very grateful that we live in Massachusetts, that we don't have these problems that other towns or other states have. And I would just end by saying, you know, I just want to thank again the community for not overreacting and doing too much. And I think one thing that I said recently at another council meeting where Jen was not here, where we don't want to lose her, but if the governor Healy was listening, which I doubt she is, but if she was, hire her.
Right. Because
she'll get the train back on the tracks. One of the most fascinating things to me was being in El Paso recently and also being in a conference and listening to local officials from Texas, Arizona, and California about what to do and what not to do. Somehow she knows all of that. And I can't find many people in Massachusetts who literally know, and Jen addressed it, which is why I'm bringing it up, assess the individual's needs. Don't theorize or think of what we may want and project that on other people, but go up and ask them. I mean, you can't just go do a clothing drive and fill the hotel with clothes. You're gonna have fire hazards, you're gonna have a whole bunch of other health-related and sanitary issues. So the community has done a phenomenal job organizing and assessing, which has been a big priority for Amy and myself, assess the needs of the individuals who are living there and connecting with them to try to bring those connections forward. And I really mean it. I learned a lot in Texas, and when coming home, to know that there are members of the community like Jen that already have that deep well of knowledge on how to handle humanitarian issues is just incredibly valuable. So. Regarding also public safety, you know, this is not, I think Jim Johnson wrote a letter to the Observer today, and the Observer had published some public safety calls. That data is real, that is from the MEC, but that data does not mean that 55 calls were all emergencies. The vast majority of those calls were hang-ups, they were not actual real emergencies. Only about a handful to a half a dozen have been emergencies where we've transported folks to hospitals. And the good news is the folks that have gone to the hospital are doing well, including a 2-month-old infant who had contracted flu. And so everybody right now seems to be doing well, which is even better news. So I just want to address one more thing, Mr. Chairman, which is bothering me. Facebook. I am getting text messages and screenshots, and I do appreciate it, from members of the community. I'm sorry. Facebook is right now batting 0-for-75, okay? No hits. So what we're reading on that is not true.
And we are asking, I am asking the chief of police to respond to those screenshots or calls that I'm getting. I can't live with myself if I know of something and I didn't tell anyone. But our officers and our public safety personnel are going over and doing routine check-ins. And I have yet to find one comment on Facebook that I have found to be true. We have to be a little cautious and careful as a community to not take the bait quick and think that something there is true. If people feel it's an emergency, they need to call the Franklin Police Department, they need to call 911. I appreciate the input. But I just have to convey to the community, be very careful what you're reading on Facebook. There's a lot of hypotheticals. I think Jen had mentioned it a minute ago about the media and just the headlines that we're seeing nationwide aren't necessarily applying here. It doesn't say there couldn't be an emergency someday. I just want people to be very cautious about what they're reading, because I have yet to find one allegation or one point that is sent to me where the chief called me up afterwards and said, or the fire chief called me up and said, you know what, boss, that was true. None of them have. People should still funnel that information to the police if they see a threat. But I do want to caution people that most of what we're reading out there is not true. So I appreciate the time, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the council for giving me a few minutes to walk through all that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay. Moving on, subcommittee and ad hoc committee reports. Capitol has not met. EDC has met. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the EDC met before the main meeting tonight. We discussed the home occupation bylaw. We're doing a little review of that. We also discussed the 40R zoning bylaw and possible district overlays. We will meet again on November 1st before the next town council meeting and continue these discussions. They're on our goal list, and so we're working to the end.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Budget has not met. Master plan?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next scheduled master plan committee meeting is going to be next Wednesday, the 25th, at 6:30 in the third floor training room. We have a busy schedule. We're also going to have another busy schedule. I've got word tonight from the planning department that we're going to be getting a very large dump of information on the 7th of November. So things are moving fast, and lots to cover, but it's coming along.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Davis, their reuse. Councilor Plagrie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie did say a few things already, but I will just reiterate a few of them. On Friday and on Saturday, we're having the open house at the Davis Thayer School. We invite everyone, not just if you went to Davis Thayer. We want you to come up and see the school. It's going to be 100 years old next year. And on Friday, it's 2 to 5. And on Saturday, it's 10 to 2. And I think it's Saturday that the fire department is having something at the station.
Yep.
Is it
it's an open house.
Truck? No, that was DPW.
Yeah, that was last Saturday.
Well, you'll be able to touch the truck.
No, no, no. What are they calling it is what I'm getting.
It's an open house.
Open house.
And just folks know, it may rain on Saturday, so the fire chief's going to make a call about whether or not that goes on or not. But people should still plan to go.
Good.
And if we postpone, we'll let everybody know.
Okay. I think our committee came up with some very good ideas once again. And the outcome of yesterday's meeting was that we were going to put out an expression of interest for the school. That would be anyone that has an interest in a use in that of the school. So we're going to wait and see what that is. And that won't be probably brought back to us until after the first of the year. Is that correct, Jamie?
That's
when
correct.
I say something, I like to make
That's
sure
right.
that I'm
yep.
saying it right. Okay.
No, you're correct.
Okay. We hope that a lot of people will come. And if you have any memorabilia from the school, bring it with you. Bring some pictures with you, too. That would be wonderful. I know that I have a t-shirt. You know, I'm a good person with t-shirts. From the Davis Thayer School, and it has a big firebird on it. and I'm pleased to say it was my son's artwork that was accepted and used as their mascot. So I'll have that with me anyway, so people can see it. And if anybody else has anything, please bring it with you. Be proud of the Davis Fair School. We had some wonderful times there. I went only 1 year, and other people maybe went 4 years there. So, and we can just talk. Please know that the people that are on the committee will be wearing name tags, so that if you have a question or concern, you can go up to those people and, you know, ask anything that you would like to ask, okay? And let's see if there was anything else. My members here, did I mention everything then? Okay. That's about it. We'll see you on Friday, 2 to 5, or Saturday, 10 to 2. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Plagan.
Thank you.
Okay, police station building committee did not meet, and I checked with Kobe and GATRA. There's no update on GATRA this evening. So we will move to future agenda items. Councilor Sherrod.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Hamblin.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Councilor Pellegrin.
I think mine is under comment, so nothing at this time.
Councilor Chandler.
Quickly, I don't think this will end up on an agenda, but it's towards the town administrator. Some of the audience might appreciate this too. Our custodian works very hard out there, but his cart is the loudest cart. And I know Mr. Shulock has had to shut the door like 3 or 4 times during different meetings. Maybe we could get some new wheels or just please look into that. Thank you.
That's easy. Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor, call me a legend. Okay. Councilor Frangello.
Nothing at this time. Look forward to the next session. Yeah. I'm so lucky.
Councilor Jones.
Solving the world's problems. Not at this time, sir.
Councilor DeLorco?
No, but we could send the cart out for rehab, total rehab.
Thank you. Councilor comments. Councilor Sherry.
Just want to second anything Jamie said about the migrant situation and the comments being made.
Thank you, Councilor Sherry. Councilor Hamlin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to thank Alan Earls and Jeff Livingstone for organizing the candidates night, and a few of my fellow candidates got to make it. Everybody else was probably in another meeting, since we have like committees and committees and committees. And thank everyone who showed up and to talk to us. Also, don't forget Friday, if it's not raining, is the second to last farmers market. So you could go to the Davis Fair open house and then head on down to the farmers market. There's also office hours on tomorrow morning, I believe, Jamie, is that correct?
That's correct.
At the senior center, so some of us will be there at 8:30. And happy Halloween, I think, right? Because we won't see anybody. Yeah, so happy Halloween. And have a safe Halloween, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Pellegrin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, along with some other councilors, went to Senator Roche's introduction, or whatever you want to call it, that she had the other night. Some things were very interesting. A couple of things I really just didn't agree with, but one being, it was asked about work permits for the migrants. And it was just, well, they're working on it, they can't do anything. And I think that's a shame, because I had said at the last meeting, there are people that are looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what are we showing them here in America? That we don't care if you work or not? That doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I think that they would be very happy to be able to do some work. I was curious to know how they get spending money. Is that the money that's given to them from the state? Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It, when you go through a welcoming center, which there's one in Quincy, for example, they give a stipend for basic needs. Yes. So people have to understand the federal government is not doing anything about this. There's no money coming in from the federal government. There's a bottleneck of worker permit applications that's probably, you know, could be months, years. I mean, they're saying 6 months, but there's no way that 6 months is what's going on right now.
No, people are waiting years.
People are waiting years, and they're going to continue to wait years until, well, we don't even have a Speaker of the House. So I don't think Congress is doing anything about this soon. And so I think it's better to be open and honest about it. I think most of the money is coming from the state. And as we saw yesterday, Governor Healey made an announcement that they've run out of money. So,
space.
You know, in space, which is true. I mean, you know, so they're cutting off the program at the end of the month. And I don't know how all that's going to work. I was just reading the fact sheet that was put out. They are, to the Councilor Pellegrini's question, there was a question on the frequently asked questions from the state that said, what about the worker, you know, programs? And the state is now trying to develop their own worker training program. How that works legally and all that, I'm sure they're working on that, but at least it will help get folks in the door to learn the language, get some additional job skills, find out hopefully what skills they have themselves that can contribute to construction, medicine, a variety of other things, not just service industry work. But it seems like this is going to be a problem for at least the foreseeable future through the winter until the state can get a job training program up and going. But at least they're working on it, and so we got to have some hope that next year we're going to see some progress on this. Mm-hmm.
So we're saying that the migrants will be up at Best Western for at least another year?
Well, the lease goes through June 30th of 2024, so yeah. I have to assume that, you know, but if a family up there finds a connection point with another family member or a friend or a place, a home that someone is going to take them in, mm-hmm. or another place to live in Franklin or in any other community or another state, they don't have to stay there. They're not restricted to there. They can move about wherever they want to go. And so I think the state, in their announcement yesterday from the governor, is hoping that there will be those connection points to exit people. Remember, this is temporary housing.
Right.
Right? So they're trying to exit people out too, which is exactly what the folks in Texas have advised. And so it seems like the state is kind of catching up to that, and hopefully they'll have those pipelines built soon. But, you know, unfortunately, given the crisis and the volume of people that have come to the Northeast, you know, they're kind of building the plane while flying it. So I think we have to be supportive as much as possible to try to help the state get to where they need to be.
I think that we are very welcoming, and I agree with that 100%. But I think the state is really behind, and they've got to step up. They got to step up even quicker as to what's happening. I mean, these people, I'm sure, are not happy just being there at Best Western. They want to get out and involved with the community. So, which brings me to my next idea. We have how many families up there, and perhaps we might be able to start some type of a buddy system. There may be people in the community that would like to take them out for the day, a family, out for the day, invite them over for dinner, and, you know, whether they can speak English very well or not at all, we're going to be able to converse with them just by our tone, our movements, and whatever, but I think that might be something good to do. But we've got to work with Representative Roy and Senator to get this moving. We need to help out these people.
We agree. We totally agree.
Think about it, people. Maybe Jen, is she still here? Maybe that's something. And also, if there are lists of items in that they need, you know, to send it out to us, and I know you're saying you don't want just anything, this, that, whatever. Maybe adopt a family, see what they need. You know, I think we're going to be surprised. Mm-hmm. So if there are people out there that want to adopt a family, get in touch.
Yeah, with the Board of Health or our office.
The Board of Health or the Town Administrator's Office. Okay? I think that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Frangillo.
Thank you,
The office hours tomorrow were already mentioned. The only other thing is I just got back from travel, and I certainly never turn off my counselor brain, and it strikes me every time I visit a place like this. This was in Northern Europe, this, around Denmark and Sweden, and including some smaller communities, and they were making choices actively making choices to prioritize the walkability and bikeability of communities, and it enabled a whole bunch more people, particularly intergenerational living, in a way that I think we have the opportunity to promote. So always refreshing to see that cold winters are not an impediment to accessible mobility around even a small town.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to try to talk about a couple of positive things and a couple of concerning things, obviously. It was an honor to attend the ribbon cutting ceremony at the Red Brick Schoolhouse. Thank you to everybody that attended, and thank you to the community once again for, you know, voting in the CPA so that we could have the funds to do something great like that. It was beautiful, and what was done with the building is beautiful. We should all be very proud of that. Really happy that the haunted house tradition is continuing in Franklin. We started that with the Cultural Council during COVID as a way to get the community out and about, and the Lions Club has now taken that on for the second year in a row. It's one of the good things about Facebook, Jamie, is you can go there and get a map, and I believe there's about 40 participating houses all over town, and most of the displays are up. If they're not up yet, they certainly will be by this weekend, and it's just a great, fun way throw the kids in the car and drive around. I'm lucky enough to be one of the judges again this year, so I'm super excited to go around and get scared. I'm not even a big Halloween guy, right? But I am definitely more of the Christmas guy, but I do what I can. Trunk or Treat, a hugely popular event happening October 29th from 4 to 7 at Franklin High School, also sponsored by the Lions Club. They're taking donations for the Franklin Food Pantry because it's free to drive your car through with your kids and get all that candy, so they ask that you give a little bit back. I will once again be there that day in some sort of ridiculous costume, giving out candy and having a blast. And then on a serious note, we still have a missing teenager in Franklin. I certainly don't want to impede on the police investigation. That's a very sensitive matter, but Jocelyn Rodriguez, age 15, she still is not only is she not home safely, but her mother still does not know where she is. If you have any information at all, there's flyers all over town. There's a dedicated Facebook page. Please let the Franklin Police Department know. And thank you to the volunteers that have called me with concerns, and thank you to Rep. Roy and Senator Rausch and the Interfaith Council here in town and others that have gotten in touch with the family to see what their immediate needs are beyond trying to get their daughter home. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier-Ledger. Councilor Chandler.
Last but not least, thank you. Through you, Mr. Chairman. Let's start with Mr. Town Administrator. That was an A+. That update was great. It really was. I mean, a lot of the questions that you probably saved me 5 minutes of talking too, because you answered a lot of stuff that people have said to me. And like I said, now I even got some talking points from you that I can respond to people. And I appreciate that. And hopefully that'll be a great clip to play so people can hear that. Another thing, since it's not too late tonight, I got an email about a sign, and I think people need to understand what our role is. My role is not to order the town administrator to do anything. You know, I have faith in the administration, I have faith in the department heads. What happens is,
if you have an issue and you're not getting a call back or anything, yeah, we can, I'll say, force them to make sure that you get a call back and get things resolved if you feel like you're not getting any response. You know, that's about all. It's not, we don't order them to just do something. We have total faith in what they do. And I think people need to understand that. I mean, I can get a pothole filled, though. This winter, you call me. The pothole will be filled, I promise, okay? That I can do. But the stuff that we need them to do in their day-to-day operations, we have to have faith in what they're doing. And sometimes we need to be explained, too, why somebody did something. But the residents should always get a call back. And I think 99% of the time they do. Mm-hmm. And if somebody falls through the cracks, it just takes one call to Jamie, and it's taken care of. It's not even an issue. So, or as Jamie said, I mean, your door's always open. Come on up, please. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but it's true. Yeah.
I mean, people know how to reach me. My cell phone's online.
I don't know. I'm saying, I don't, like, when we get emails, we're not doing something, but we are doing things. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Jones.
Well, I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to be the one to talk the most tonight. So, but all joking aside, I just wanted to say I'm happy to be here tonight. I almost missed tonight, as everyone has heard. COVID's going around. I caught COVID sometime last week. I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know why. But I was down for the count pretty hard on Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday. Luckily, I tested negative yesterday, so I'm here to be at this council meeting. It would have been harsh to miss this. But with that being said, please be careful, folks. For those who have sensitive systems, we'll get your COVID booster shots and stay safe. That's it.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank Brutus and the DPW for touch a truck, because that was an awesome day down there. That was a good time. They did a good truck. I'm a truck guy, so that was really, you know, kind of made me happy. But I think they did a great job down there. All the employees were down there. I was talking to everybody. They did a good job down there. So, and Jamie, you hit the nail on the head. You know, sometimes people just don't, they think way too far out of the box. I've been getting phone calls saying that the immigrants are driving crazy up and down King Street. They don't even have cars.
Right.
I mean,
those are Rhode Islanders.
Seriously, you know. So I just, when you were talking, I thought that was pretty funny, because it's like, yeah, they don't even have cars.
Thank you, thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Just a couple of things. I'd like to thank the Chief of Police again, TJ, coming, bringing in the swearing in the new patrol officers, bringing Callie in, just for us to have an opportunity to say welcome back. And Frankie, the therapy dog, those are great additions to our department. Jen Knight, what more can we say? She does a phenomenal job. The safe team as a whole is doing a great job for our community. And I would just ask our community, as residents, if you're out there, if you see these people from the Safe Coalition, just say thanks. They're doing such a wonderful job for all of us. And Touch a Truck was stopped in towards the end. Yeah. Stopped in the time to see Councilor Hamblin in the boat.
You missed me. I was only there for the first 2 hours.
And I just also just like to apologize to Fish, that organization tonight had their big dinner. I was invited to go. We did a proclamation, but Unfortunately, we had a council meeting, but I made sure that the proclamation got there, and so apologize for not being able to be there in person. And with that, I'd be in trouble if I didn't wish my daughter a happy birthday, happy anniversary, and a happy birthday to her husband. It's great, they only have to remember one day.
So do you.
That's right, that's so do I. And when you get my age, it's a good thing. So happy birthday and happy anniversary to them. And at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Non-debatable. Roll call vote.
Chardon.
Yes.
Comey Ledger.
Yes.
Angelo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Flagry. Jones.
Yes.
Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Thank you, one and all. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here in person, Cassidy.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.